the fish went by. But I got to the river, so lonesome I wanted to die, oh Lord. And then I jumped in the river, but the doggone river was dry. She's long gone, and now I'm lonesome blue.
Hello and welcome to the Long Gone podcast. My name is Ryan Hetzer, and this is part of a special series from the podcast for the SimSports Gaming Out of the Park Baseball League. And I know that sometimes people may reach the podcast who have followed episodes on the St. Louis Cardinals. I am getting pretty close to being able to have enough thoughts put together for a podcast in that realm. A lot of talk about winter is coming to the real Major League Baseball landscape for free agents this offseason, given the recently completed season without fans and the uncertainty of fans being in the stands for 2021. So, yeah, that's something that I will plan to do soon. But for the SimSports gaming community, I had this thought, had this idea that I hope will take off, where just a little bit of a hot stove approach for any general managers wishing to join me. We would spend just about 15 to 30 minutes kind of with me sort of interviewing you about your current state of mind with regard to your organization, thoughts for the future, you know, some general out of the park baseball talk as well, just about the game and different aspects of it. That could be a topic as well. But I wanted to put one out with me, just talking about the San Francisco Giants, just as a sort of an example, so that those of you who may be thinking about, you know, coming on and doing it would have an idea. So today I'll kind of be interviewing myself, which may be a little bit awkward, but it'll give those of you interested a kind of an idea of which questions we would cover, because we'll cover a lot of the same general ground. And also would even, if you do, if we do schedule a time, it would give you a little bit of time to maybe prepare some of your thoughts and things that you would want to say, rather than just going off the cuff. So the way that the first question I would ask to any of you would be not really to recap your 2020, because I think we've all kind of moved a little bit past that, but just any specific takeaways that you had from the 2020 season that is driving your current thought process, your current approach. So that would be the first item to cover. For the Giants, I think I have to go sort of back to, I took control of the team. I was fortunate enough to enter the league just around the draft. In fact, I think when I first took control of the Giants, it was already like in the fifth or sixth round of the draft this year. So it was kind of an awkward time to come in. But and then I had some file issues and some technical issues. So really, it was about 2 or 3 weeks before I had the kind of access to an organization that you would want through Out of the Park Baseball. And then I was also fairly, you know, I was new to the game, so just kind of getting acclimated that way. And it may or may not have been a coincidence, but the organization during that time really plummeted. We were struggling badly, especially on the offensive side, and the season kind of went in the tank during that time period. I think when I first took control, we were maybe one or two games under 500, and then before you knew it, it was trending in a bad direction. And so once I really got my feet under me, I kind of started to just I see a lot of veterans that were underperforming. Guys like Justin Upton, Pomeranz in the rotation was okay. David Price, up and down, Kazmir. And these guys would have a good start and would kind of give me some hope, and then they'd have two bad ones. And then they have another good one and then two bad ones. So there were some other guys in the lineup just underperforming. It was a lot of just not a lot to get excited about, especially when all of these veterans who are underperforming are getting on in age and not really guys that you're thinking – have a chance to turn it around anytime soon. So I reached a point where it was like, how could this get any worse? I mean, it was frustrating to go through the season the way it was happening. And so I got fairly aggressive. I tried not to do it all at once, but I got fairly aggressive bringing in some of the fine talent in the minor league system, especially on the pitching side. I inserted three rookies into the rotation, and Don Labonte, Zach Jacobs, and Kevin Hunt. And those three, Hunt and Labonte, are top 100 prospects at the time, I think top 50 in the current update. So it was, they're older prospects, you know, 24, 25. And so I felt like it was a good, Jacobs was having just an excellent year in double A, 2.2 ERA and I think 2.4 fielding independent, and close to five or above five WAR at double A. So he's a stats over ratings kind of guy. And then there was minor league journeyman Mike Minor, who was doing well in the minors, very well. I had put him into the starting rotation in double A and then triple A, and everywhere he went up the ladder, he kept doing well. So those four, the three rookies and Mike Minor, all came into the rotation right about the same time or within a week or two of each other. And that really just sparked a turnaround in the season, where over the final, I think the final good stretch of baseball was something like 35-18, I want to say. I don't have everything right in front of me, but my memory is pretty good on these things. So 35-18, so that's a, you know, 17 games over 500 stretch. You do that over the course of a season, you know, you're up in the 95 or above win range. Now, I mean, it's like with anything else, it's a sample size. So the 35-18 really got me excited for the future at a time when before that happened, you know, my excitement wasn't that high. And so the young pitching was a big part of it. Also a couple of younger bullpen pieces that came up and performed. On the position player side, it wasn't as much. I did Dusty Lawrence. Was an outfielder with a lot of speed, great defense. He came up and was not wonderful offensively if you just go by stats, but he seemed to provide a spark, and we're going to move forward with him in center field with his 80 rating at both defense and arm. And I think I'll actually look up his full defensive profile. It's quite impressive as we go along here. So Dusty Lawrence was a guy that came into the lineup. I gave some at-bats to another outfielder named Gustavo Cabrera, and he did some nice things. The last couple weeks of the season, 3 weeks or so, I brought up a fantastic shortstop prospect, Hector Rodriguez, and he performed pretty well, especially for, I think he was only 20 years old at the time. And so all of this together just kind of really gave me hope for the upcoming season. And so the idea was, for me, was to basically, going into the off season, was to really rely on this young pitching. I mean, they came up, they performed, they seem ready to step into a big league role. Now, it's a gamble when you're relying on what are essentially going to be three. I think they still retain their rookie eligibility. So three rookies that are going to be in your rotation, even if they, you know, are nice prospects, and even if they did well in a 9 or 10 start audition last year, it still isn't the same as the idea of maybe taking the ball 30 to 35 times over the course of a season. So it's a gamble in that sense, but there is some depth behind them. There are some options behind them if any of those guys falter a bit. And that's the idea going into the offseason was let's really, you know, use that this commodity of these young starters, and let's try to build some offense around them. I really felt like the offense was not anywhere near what it needed to be to contend for, you know, a division with the Rockies and Padres and Dodgers. Diamondbacks are certainly up and coming organization as well. I think the West is really a tough group. So, but I did want to secure a veteran anchor for these young starters, kind of a guy that at least one guy that you could count on. And it started my conversations with California, Anaheim Angels, actually started with Cole. I mean, I wanted to kick the tires on Cole. There were rumors that he was available, and I wanted to feel that out. And so those talks actually progressed a little bit, but it ended up creating a foundation for the acquisition of Garrett Richards, who the Angels ended up deciding that it was more palatable for them to get rid of, not to get rid of, but to trade Richards over Cole. And I also had targeted Aaron Judge. He was a guy that right field was an opening for us. There was really no clear-cut right fielder for the Giants. And Judge was on the Angels' list of guys that they would entertain dealing. So was able to swing a deal there for Vlad Guerrero Jr., who I believe is probably about a year away, but I think is really going to have an impact on this league. But I think he probably needs one additional year in the minor leagues in 21 before he's ready. But he might be ready earlier than that. He had 10 homers over the course of just over 200 at-bats, but struggled a bit with strikeouts and the getting on base. Anyway, so we gave him and a nice pitching prospect, a left-hander with very good stuff, and John Roussel. So that was the first move that kind of secured that veteran starter or veteran anchor in Richards. And also, of course, Aaron Judge to play right field. So then, you know, really just at that point was kept an open mind to looking at the trading block in our Discord. And saw Trey Turner as somebody that Baltimore was putting on the trade block, and they stated that they wanted a young left-hander with promise. And I knew that I had a lot of those. The San Francisco organization has probably more than any other position or any other, left-handed starting pitching depth is something that we had in abundance. So it was a good match. Gave up Raul Moran, who was a very nice, it was a top 20 organizational prospect, to bring in Trey Turner. But I felt like he was a really good supplemental piece, could play second short, and actually he's going to end up doing some DHing for me in quite a unique DH spot. But I still like him in that role as a super sub, super utility plus, you know, DH guy for us. Was able to pick up some depth in Dylan Davis. Really nice, had an excellent minor league career, or minor league year last year and we were able to get him as well, and he's definitely going to have a role at the big league level. And then I had been targeting Dominic Smith for a while, having been put on the block by the Cubs as an ARB eligible player, and they needed to cut some salary. They had a number of ARB eligible guys in play, and so was able to make that deal. And I think that one was really a target for us. First base, along with Aaron Judge, but first base was an area that, you know, especially after trading away Guerrero Jr., really was kind of an empty spot that needed to be filled. So to get Dominic Smith, that was huge. And then I topped it off last night with the acquisition of Lurie Garcia, shortstop Lurie Garcia, who was an all-star in 2020. And his acquisition was maybe a little bit more of a luxury one. I did with Trey Turner, with the young Hector Rodriguez. I had some decent options to play short, but Lurie Garcia, as I mentioned, is an all-star, still only 29 years old. Just a very solid player in SSG. And it allows, I mean, Trey Turner's defense is, he actually played second base last year. His shortstop defense is not stellar. And Hector Rodriguez is only 21 years old. So it kind of just allowed a little bit of a domino effect where Turner is going to be able to be more of that Ben Zobrist, play different places, but also DH. And then Rodriguez can spend another year at least honing his skills in the minor league. So it was a lot of activity. I know that there's been some talk in the discussions on Discord about, you know, hey, like, it's okay not to have to make a move today. It's okay to not feel like it's a long off season. It's a day-to-day sim. You don't have to feel like every day you need to do something. But I don't know. For me, I just felt like, with this young pitching core, with a very nice bullpen, I feel like I have, that if I could just supplement the offensive attack, that we would really have a chance to compete. And I hesitate to say for the division, but I would say for a wild card spot this coming year. I mean, I really felt that, but I knew that I needed those offensive pieces. And when I first started thinking about the offseason, I was thinking, oh, you know, well, Michael Choice is going to be a free agent, and there's these other guys, and, you know, Arenado might be a free agent. But then it's just more and more I got into that, and actually Choice signed an extension. There was another big extension signed. I can't remember who it was at this point. But the more and more I started thinking about free agency, I was just – the more and more I started feeling like, well, is that really – going to be the most prudent way is to just try to bid on a couple, two or three free agents. I knew I was going to have the money, or some money at least. David Price, 24, 25 million off the books. Kazmir was another guy making 24, 25 million. But I just, the more I looked at the landscape, I just felt like, you know, the trade block was going to be the better way to improve the offense. And, you know, over the course of making those trades, I mean, I definitely gave up some depth. I gave up some nice pitching depth. But I did have a lot of pitching depth. So if you're, you know, going to deal from a strength, that's where you know, want to deal from. So I still feel fairly good about my pitching depth, even though I did trade away three or four solid depth guys, or not even necessarily depth, but guys who were definitely could have or would have eventually played a role on the big league roster. But there's still some depth behind them that allowed me to feel good about that. So, yeah, I just decided to go to the trade route, and then the different pieces just fell into place. So, you know, starting with Judge, and then, you know, the addition of Dylan Davis was kind of a depth piece, but a guy who could start. And then Dominic Smith, and then, you know, Lurie Garcia. They just, each of those different moves just kind of were there. They were available, and they all fit into space that we had at the big league level, where we needed guys to step in and So it just, it all worked out. I feel pretty good about it. Now, you know, I may have left myself a little bit exposed in terms of depth. If some of those young pitchers struggle or if there are some injuries, I don't have quite the starting pitching depth that I would have had prior to making these trades. Even on the position player side, I don't have as much prospect depth there or guys who would be able to step in and fill in. So, I mean, a lot of organizations are in the same boat, but if I were to get, you know, one or two significant injuries to the everyday lineup, I don't feel like I just have a number of plug-and-play guys in the minor leagues that are ready to go. So I think we're a little bit – I mean, every organization can probably say this, but I think that maybe more than a few others, we are susceptible to injury. And then the other thing is just the relying on the young pitching, I think, is a gamble, as I stated earlier. You just never know for sure if these guys are going to continue to kind of perform on an upward arc, or are there going to be some valleys before they can get back to those peaks. So that was a ridiculously long answer. This is a test run. Although I did kind of, the next question was going to be a 2021 general outlook, kind of an around the horn concept. And so I sort of already did that. Yeah, I mentioned the starting rotation. We have a nice little bullpen with Jansen at the back end, Edwin Diaz, very good lefty, and Carlos Perez. Ritzy Mendoza. I want to talk about Ritzy Mendoza. I feel like he's an unsung hero. He was a rookie this year. He was listed in the reliever of the year candidates and also rookie of the year candidates. But this guy out of the bullpen in 2021 threw 109 innings, which I have to watch that this year. That's too many innings for a reliever, but 109 innings. And 155 strikeouts in 109 innings. 2.87 ERA with a 2.71 fielding independent. And this WAR number, I think, was within the top, I want to say, three of all of the National League, at least. And he had a 2.25 WAR figure. So this is a rookie with excellent stuff. Like I said, definitely be a big shutdown part of the bullpen. And hopefully we can curtail those innings a little bit, keep it more like in the 65 to 85 range maybe. But he will be back in the bullpen. And then Posey will return at catcher. Mentioned Dominic Smith. We've got Kondo at second, who's a nice player, a little bit fragile. Kevin Wilson had an excellent second half. He'll be the third baseman. Lurie Garcia, we mentioned the acquisition of him. In the outfield, we're going to move Tyrone Taylor over to left field, which actually provides probably one of the better defensive left fielders in SSG baseball. Because we are going to give, at least to start the year, the center field job to Dusty Lawrence. And Dusty Lawrence is quite a unique guy. So this is a guy with an 80 positional rating in left, center, and right field. With 75 range. Of course, these are ratings, but 75 range. 70 air and 65 arm. I actually feel like that range, I'm looking at Stats Plus, I think he may have gotten a development bump on that range, and I think it might be at 80 as well. And this guy also is a 70 speed tool and 80 stealing and 80 running. So definitely could be an impactful guy. And we're going to let him play center field. And between he and center and Taylor and left, that's going to be quite a nice defensive outfield. And Judge is, you know, above average or slightly above average, and he'll be the right fielder. Trey Turner, as I mentioned, will be an everyday player, but he'll play a little second, a little short, and be a very unique DH. Not the kind of guy you think of as a designated hitter, but he had a very nice offensive year. And really, you look at San Francisco's lineup, there are some pests. There are some guys who are going to be good on base guys who, when they get on base, are going to cause some problems. I mean, you look at the combination of Condo, Wilson steals bases, Lurie Garcia had 30 stolen bases last year, Trey Turner, Tyrone Taylor had 20 some odd stolen bases. Dusty Lawrence has elite, you know, base stealing ratings. You think he stole 14 bases in limited action last year. So there's going to be that danger within the lineup. The next question was going to be, and I'm already at 25 minutes. I really want to keep these. When I release an episode, I'm going to try to do between 15 and 30 minutes with each general manager, so that when I release an episode, I can put two, three, heck, maybe even four all together in one episode for people to listen to. So I'm going to try to bring this to a close. The next couple of I did have two other questions. The first being larger game issues, like 2 to 4 years down the road, larger organizational issues, like 2 to 4 years down the road. What are kind of some trends you see coming up? What is there any kind of philosophy that you'd want to share that you plan on? And for me, I'll just be really quick with that. Is that I want to be athletic on the position player side. So I want to try to continue to have guys who power is nice, but if I can continue to develop guys who run well and who play good defense, that's going to be our organizational focus. Cause I just feel like speed never slumps, and that's going to be something we're going to look for. And then the young pitching, we're just going to ride that out. We have the guys who I mentioned. We've got a wave of 2, 3, 4 guys behind that. And the idea is going to be really just to rely on those guys and not do a whole lot of, looking in the starting pitching trade market or free agent market, really just try to develop and rely on our organizational guys. That kind of leads me to the final question, which would be a prospect report. So I think, a lot of people around the league would love to hear about, just some of the prospects that might be expected to make an impact over the next 2 to 3, maybe even 4 or 5 years in the league. So for the Giants, again, I'll be real quick because I'm at 27 minutes. I mentioned the Labonte and Hunt. These guys will be in the rotation. They're both top 50 major league prospects. Hector Rodriguez, I mentioned as well. He's a top 50 prospect at shortstop. Clarence Davis, I mentioned the second wave of pitching. And Clarence Davis is kind of at the top of that. He's a 22-year-old, just really looks like a potential ace down the road. Dave Byers is another part of that starting pitching depth. He actually just got knocked out of the top 100 with the new ratings. He was like at 92 or 93, and I think now he dropped to like 104 in the overall prospect ratings. Kevin Clark was my first-round draft. I didn't make the pick, but first-round pick of the Giants in 2020. He's kind of making a fast jump up the prospect rankings. He's already in the top 50 as well. So you can kind of start to see with all these pitchers I'm naming a bit of what I was talking about. And there's even a couple other names. A guy like Chet Green is another one of those left-handers. Jorge Arroyo. There's even a few more that I really like. So those are just some names. On the position player side, I mentioned Rodriguez. The other position player that I would put out there as someone to keep an eye on, young 19-year-old first baseman Terrence Thompson. I really like him. He's right now at short season A-ball. I don't know. Not sure if I'm going to try to push him up into regular A-ball or just have him work at the short season. Again, like I said, he's just 19. But a lot to like about his future. And I think in order to keep the episode right around 30 minutes, I'm going to wrap it up. So, gentlemen, this is generally the format we would follow. So the four questions would be takeaways from last year that drive current approach, a 2000 general outlook. I kind of have like an around the horn concept there just to take us around the horn for your club. Then it would be sort of the long view. So maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road, what do you sort of foresee? What organizational trends are you looking to establish? And then the prospect report concept would be the last thing there. So those four items I would ask you about, and we'll keep it to 15 to 30 minutes, and should be a lot of fun. So I will post this in the forum, and if you are interested, I understand that some people may just don't feel comfortable speaking kind of it's not public speaking, but I guess in a way it is. And I totally understand that. So, you know, there's certainly no pressure, but if you, you know, are interested, as you see, it would just be a quick, you know, quick hitter, 15 to 30 minutes, four questions, and should be a lot of fun. So please get in contact with me if you'd be interested in setting something up. And I will end the episode there. Thanks for listening.